Now it's time for Half Hour to Health on 107.7 The Pulse and 107.3 WEMJ.
I shall not feel good. I feel good. Like a move in the wood.
Good morning and welcome to Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic here with Dr. Barry Taylor, the director of the New England Family Health Center and the Love Your Body program. Thanks for being with us on air again.
Hi, Dr. Steph.
We've got a great show today. We're talking the top 10 tips for healing stress and negative emotions, and who couldn't use that conversation? So
I'm online.
Maybe I need this conversation. That's why we're covering this topic today. I really appreciate it. So tell me, why do you think so many people are stressed?
Why are so many people are stressed? Oh, boy. Starting with the easy questions, are you? Well, here's a couple of my premises, Dr. Steph. We're all healers. Learning how to get out of the way of ourselves. You know, some of us are in touch with our life purpose and our destiny, and some of us are not. We're quadrinities. We're physical beings. We're mental beings. We're emotional beings. We're spiritual beings. And in our culture, we tend to be so over-analytic. Are you with me? I mean, we tend to so idolize our ability to judge, even though we might not like it when people are negatively judgmental. I have a thought in my young years is that we confuse discernment from being overly critical. That there are a lot of people who, and I was accused of this for many years, so I'm talking from the inside out, live in their head. And I can see in my life that I was so oriented, if I could just figure it out, if I just knew the answer, life would be really successful. I would say one reason that people of many, this is a short show, is this the 4-hour show or the 30-minute show? I'd say one reason we're obsessed, one reason we're so stressed is that many people are obsessed with understanding and figuring life out.
Mm.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. People are just so enamored with figuring it out. And then they don't get that there are a lot of things in life you can never figure out. They're not meant to be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opening remarks. Do you want to talk anymore, or you just want to, like, you know, talk about lunch?
You know, I think we should keep talking about stress.
Okay.
Here's a question for you. Do you think that stress is related to depression or anxiety?
most all the time, yeah. Because I said in my opening remarks that we're emotional beings, and that some people live in their heads. And so, let me see. Here are a couple of misguided beliefs that I'd say are part of the answer to is stress. Is there a relationship between stress and depression, stress and anxiety? One belief that some people have, check it out for yourself, is life would be better if I had less stress. You heard that from people?
Mm-hmm.
Life would be better if I had less. Well, but if you're a human being that has a very high value of growing, you love to learn, then maybe you don't want to minimize or eliminate stress, but you do want to deal with stress so it doesn't become distress. You know, I teach a whole course on that. Another misguided belief is that certain emotions are bad. You know, some of your clients, some of the people who trust and love you because you're such a gifted chiropractor, can you sense how many of them have a belief? Stop being angry, or I'll give you something to be angry about. You have no reason to cry. they get emotional, and then they go into some mental overwhelm trying to figure out why they're feeling the way they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Certain emotions are bad. You shouldn't have those emotions. Stress can be related to depression and anxiety because some people might have a belief the more they do, the happier they'll be. Do you know anybody like that? So people become human doers. They don't have a whole lot of space. They're oriented for success, which is very different than feeling accomplished. If you're feeling accomplished, you can have a sense of contentment. If you're off going for success, sometimes you never can be successful enough. It's kind of like you can never do enough to really satisfy you if you don't have the space to appreciate what you're doing, if there isn't any satisfaction. You know, your to-do list is never ending. As soon as you cross off things on your to-do list, there are more things go on your to-do list.
Yep.
And that kind of way of living can crowd out somebody's belief certain emotions are bad, doesn't allow them to feel their feelings. Life would be better if I had no stress. These are different kinds of unconscious, what I call presuppositions. The last one of, you know, I can give you another 10. I'm just giving you a couple is some people unconsciously relate to life like quantity is better than quantity. Quantity is better than quality.
Mm-hmm.
The more money I have, the happier I'll be. The more clothes I have, the more happy I'll be. The more patience, you know, the more food. The quantity of something on the outside is what's going to dramatically affect the quality of my life. Now, at some level, there's some truth to that, because if you didn't have water, good air, and a house over your head, yeah. But you don't need three houses to increase the quality of your life. So there's a lot, I think, mental stress is kind of how we perceive things. It's not what happens to us that feels stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's more how we interpret the experience that makes it distressful, or it's an opportunity to access resources. So stress is very different than distress. Whereas emotional stress is if you're overanalyzing something, and a lot of people, they go into therapy, they don't go into therapy, but they're oriented in why questions, like they don't have permission to experience the feeling. So they go into their head to try to figure it out.
So why are we so obsessed with understanding?
My last 40 years being a researcher and practitioner in this world is I think that we still have remnants of the Victorian, Anglican roots of the American culture. You know, I mean, English relatives, my great-grandparents, a lot of English in my family, you've heard the term, keep a stiff upper lip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's different than if you're a Spaniard, right? That's different than if you're French, you know, where the French are sensual and romantic, and they're like, you know, cry. And if you're an Italian, oh, just come over here, let's cry together. But, you know, there's something about the Nordic, Scandinavian, Anglican kind of way of life, which good people don't get angry. My parents told me to get over it. And so it kind of drives people into some cognitive corner where if I could only figure it out, you know, then I wouldn't feel this way. Well, but then you look at people in your practice and my practice, not to say that some people with back pain and some people with the colitis and the cancer and the weight and the kinds of things that you and I see together, and I'm an HPAT, you're a chiropractor, but people then look at food or they look at work or exercise or drugs, or they somaticize, they get sick, or they overspend, or they get compulsive buying behaviors. They can't slow down because what's going on for them authentically, and it's not like their parents were neurotic or crazy, but there's a lot in our culture which is orienting people to be smarter and smarter and smarter that's why there was a book years ago, wasn't there? There was a great book called Emotional Intelligence. Remember that? Yeah, and it has something to do with honoring the power of respect, that emotions are meant to be experienced. They're not just meant to have insights and be figured out. And so there's this relationship between overwhelmed in your head, constantly thinking, perseverating, not able to slow your thinking down, and it's in the space of also, you know, let's get over it. Well, have you mourned enough? You know, the person died, or you got fired, or, you know, somebody cheated on you, or nobody cheated on you, but you heard something, you know, happened on the other side of the world. And life is so fast for most of us that we don't seem to have the time, space, or permission to feel, you know, and then we tell ourselves things like slow down and smell the roses, you know, let's go for a walk. And after we walk, you know, or it's like, sit down, hurry up and meditate. You know, we'll go for a walk, and then after our slow walk, we'll come back and rush some more. You know, it's the kind of question like, how come sleep isn't enough to detract all of us who are so overstressed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because first of all, people might eat way too late at night, so a lot of your sleep is digesting food. It's not regenerating the nervous system as much as you'd like. Or, you know, when you're sleeping, you're processing a lot of the stuff that you haven't really resolved during the day. It's not like deep REM, delta sleep,
mm-hmm.
You know. So it's very interesting. As you know, although I'm a naturopath and I do tons with nutrition and herbs and homeopathy, you know, I love to do things in the world of supporting people to perceive less stress. Sometimes you need to move, and sometimes you need to quit your job, and sometimes this relationship is no longer nurturing and you need to get divorced. And all of those, quote, changes are sometimes appropriate, and sometimes they're never appropriate. I mean, what needs to shift is how you're relating to the same circumstances so you're less stressed. It's a perception issue that you can't just say, well, think differently. It's an emotional issue. You can't just go to therapy and talk about, you know, the betrayal and the, you know, that's different than somebody making it safe to really experience their emotions. So before the break, do we have a couple of minutes? Because I got 10 tips, but I wanted to talk to you about context. And so thank you so much for the questions, because I think there is a relationship between this undermining, sabotaging compulsion to understand and be real smart rats. And I love being a smart rat, to tell you the truth. You know, I get a lot of props. But in a lot of therapy or workshops or a lot of healing that I did, I came to a point where I realized, and in some intimate relationships, you know, where, you know, people would say, you know, well, what do you feel about that? You know, and I'd pause and, well, give me a chance to think about that. You know, and I can think of a woman in medical school, and she'd say to me, no, I don't want to know what you think. I actually want to know what you feel. And given the way I grew up and my parents, who were wonderful, I didn't have a lot of access to feel my feelings because I processed everything through my left brain.
Well, it sounds so, like we're in a vicious cycle, and I am eager to find out what those tips are, but we do have to take a break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Dr. Barry Taylor. He's got some Love Your Body practical tips for us, talking stress and negative emotions today and how to turn that around for ourselves. So stay tuned here on WTPL and WEMJ. We'll be right back after the break.